Chapter 11, Breaking News. Monday morning, Kylie sat hunched over a bowl of cereal and a cup of coffee. She was reviewing her to-do list when Misha called. He had opened the Lily folder, but he sounded worried. By his tone, Kylie sensed it was not going to be good. "What's in there?" she asked.
"Telling you in person is better, and we should do it, probably soon. Meet me at Jolt, like, right away?"
"Yeah, sure. But can't you just tell me now?"
"Better in person."
Mystified, Kylie did not understand why he couldn't just fill her in, but the urgency in his voice had been like rocket fuel, launching her anxiety into orbit. She agreed to be there in an hour. After finishing her cereal, she jumped into the shower. While drying off, her usually silent phone rang again. Bill Reinstadt's name flashed on the screen. Her blood pounded in her ears as she picked up, held her breath, crossed her fingers and her toes, and hoped for the best. All she could manage to get out was a nervous, "Hello?"
"Kylie, it's Bill Reinstadt."
He didn't stop there.
"I discussed your platform with my advisors, and they were impressed. You are on. When can you come to my office to meet with my campaign manager and get started?"
She broke into an elated smile. "I'm sure you want to get going on this. I could come in this afternoon if you like."
"This afternoon is good. How about 1 o'clock?
"What plan did you go with?" She held her breath.
"For now, I want the exclusive. I'll draw up a contract and give you a check. You're welcome to have your lawyer look it over."
Her lawyer was her mother, so she mentally declined. "I'll read it over when I come in." She had hardly thought of her mother for weeks, except for Allison's increasingly insistent texts, asking Kylie to respond about being there for Thanksgiving. Preoccupied, Kylie dismissed them, thinking she'd get back to Allison eventually. Now, with Thanksgiving only 3 days away and Kylie suddenly feeling so excited and benevolent after Reinstadt's call, she felt fortified to take on her mother at the holiday. Still wrapped in her towel, she punched Allison's name on her speed dial. When her mother answered, Kylie's voice became sing-songy. "Hey, Mom, how you doing?"
"Fine, so you are alive after all. Why do you sound so chipper?"
"Nothing special."
"We wouldn't want anything special, would we?"
Her voice sharpened with her unique brand of sarcasm, which was her specialty. Kylie wasn't going to let it ruin her mood. What time should I be there for Thanksgiving?" she asked brightly.
"That depends on if you're coming as a guest or as a daughter. If you're coming as a daughter, well, it'd be good to have you here to help with some of the cooking. So how about coming around 11? We'll eat around 3.
"Isn't Aunt Judy going to be there?"
"Yes, Aunt Judy and Uncle Pete will be here with Andrew. He's coming home from school."
"What time are they coming?"
"Probably around 2. Coming at 3 isn't an option, Kylie. I was just kidding. I'd like you to help."
"It's probably hereditary, but I'm not exactly what you'd call a cook, you know. But okay, fine. I'll be there at 11. What if I decide to bring a guest?"
"A guest?"
"Possibly. I'll let you know. I assume that's okay."
"Is this a young man?"
"I don't know, Mom. It was just a question. We'll see."
"Fine. You don't know if he's a young man? Fine. At any rate, you can demo your new app thingy to the family. I think you're going to have quite an eager audience."
Kylie clenched the phone. About that. I know I promised, but I can't really show it now. I'm selling it as an exclusive, so I can't show it to anyone else." There was a steely silence.
"Really? You're selling it already? That sounds intriguing. Who did you sell it to? What is this mysterious thing that you're doing?"
"I can't say."
"Okay, Kylie. You've lived like a hermit for months, building an application you won't explain. Now you're selling it to someone and you can't tell me who? Is it even legal?"
"Yes, of course. I'm selling it to a lawyer."
"Really? And you can't show it to me? I'd really like to know what you're into."
"I know. I'm really sorry, but you'll just have to trust me."
"It's not a matter of trust. I want to know what my daughter's doing."
"Why? You want to make sure I'm doing something you approve? If it's not trust, it's a matter of control. Come on, Mom. Give me some credit and some space."
"You don't give me much choice. If I ever need any information, Kylie, I'll be sure to ask you. We'll see you this Thursday. Until then, take all the space you like, but don't assume this subject is closed."
Kylie dressed in her usual jeans and a sweater, stuck her hair in a ponytail, and headed to the T. When she arrived at Jolt, The coffee shop was already humming. Misha waved her over to his table by the window, where he was sipping a cup of cappuccino. By the life or death intensity of his knitted brows and the rapid percussive circles he signaled with his hand, Kylie knew something was very wrong. "So what's up?" she asked, taking a seat. Misha flipped open his laptop. "This!" He shoved it over for her to see for herself. The document was a neatly laid-out spreadsheet labeled Lily, with a detailed introduction. The first paragraph explained the program was the plan for an airborne virus that would kill anyone breathing it within an hour. It's evidently contained in an off-site lab in Chinatown. There was a pricing schedule there as if they planned to sell it or something. "Oh my God," moaned Kylie. "This is worse than anything I could have imagined. What are we going to do?" "I have no idea," said Misha, shaking his head. "It's led by Jerry Fox and was put together by Simon Whitehead." Kylie's jaw hung slack as her face flushed with anger. Simon! How could she have trusted him? Kylie knew she should have followed her first impression. What a little weasel. Now she had to talk to him. Kylie speed dialed his number. What the hell was she going to say? No answer. She refrained from throwing her phone across the room and laid it gently back on the table. "Is there an address for the lab?" "Yes, here." He pulled up the address on a Google map. "It's on Beach Street."
"Can you stop this thing by getting into their files and changing their code?" she asked.
"If they've already built it, it's too late. If not, I could try to mess with some of the sequencings, but I have no idea about things like that. I could make it worse."
"What could be worse?"
"Don't know. Looks like they have a target date to release this on Black Friday."
"In 4 days?"
Misha nodded. "Yes. See here?" He angled the laptop, pointed to another section on the bottom where it clearly labeled target release dates. Boston was scheduled first, later to be followed by New York, then maybe L.A. and Chicago, all on separate dates. There was some indication Boston was a test. Kylie felt dizzy. She looked at her watch. It was only an hour before she had to head to Reinstadt's office. Now she was especially glad she had contacted him. He would know just what to do. But that wasn't for an hour, and it was just enough time to take a little detour into Chinatown. No harm in checking things out.
I feel like getting some dim sum. What do you say we drive to Chinatown? Do you have a car here?"
"Yes, why?"
"I'm curious. We don't have to go inside. We can drive by, see what the place looks like."
"I suppose that sounds harmless. Why not?" said Misha. They threw on their jackets, and he led her up 3rd Street past a few high-rise apartment buildings to an electric blue Porsche. As soon as they'd buckled up, Misha took off, speeding over the Longfellow Bridge into Boston, and wound through downtown streets to Chinatown. Kylie texted Simon.
"Call me ASAP.
The GPS chirped.
"You've arrived."
Misha pulled his car into an alley. "That's it, across the street." He pointed to a shabby brick building, similar to the others on Beach Street, with cheap apartments on the top floors and restaurants and shops on the street level. That one had a cafe with a flashy new pink sign with fat script letters reading, "Lily's Bubble Tea." The sign spanned the width of the building with festive bubbles painted behind the letters. The only people around were elderly Asians steering collapsible carts loaded with groceries.
"Lilies, of course. Now what do we do?" Kylie wondered out loud.
"We get some bubble tea and check it out." Inside, they were greeted by cheery pink walls and a huge whiteboard menu behind the counter, with the choices in English on one side, Chinese on the other. They ordered fruit smoothies from a young Asian girl and took them to the stools at the window counter. The drinks had dark pearl-sized globules of tapioca mixed throughout, and Kylie discovered the currant-sized orbs required chewing. They quietly concentrated on the new taste sensations as they watched the street, wondering what to do next. Kylie's phone rang. Simon, finally! She pulled it from her purse, expecting to hear his familiar voice say, "Hey." It was Jared calling. "Hi, Jared."
"Hi. Have you seen the news this morning?"
"No, why?"
"They found Simon's body in a garlic field in Gilroy, California."
Kylie expelled the last of her breath as if someone socked her in the stomach.
"What? Are you kidding me? It must be someone else.
No, unfortunately, it is Simon. It's all over the news. He was shot.
Oh, my God. What happened? She asked, feeling horrified, and yet there was something not surprising about his death. After all, she herself had felt like killing Simon. Not that she did that sort of thing.
They don't know yet.
Okay, I'll check it out online. Thanks, Jared. Kylie hung up. Misha watched her, his eyes round with questions. What's going on? You look like you saw a ghost. Pretty much. She told him the news and felt as if the floor had dropped away. If she hadn't been sitting down, she might have passed out. Good grief, no! Ah! She Googled Simon Whitehead on her phone. Sure enough, his body had been found, face down in the dirt by a farmer a few hours ago. They figured out his identity from his boarding pass still in his pocket. Oh my God, we're in way over our heads. She remembered her meeting with Reinstadt and thought if anyone could help, it would be him. Would you mind dropping me off on State Street? I'll figure something out. They took their drinks out and tossed them in the trash can before they got in the car. Kylie directed Misha to drop her at the corner near Reinstadt's office. When they arrived, Misha touched her shoulder as she opened the door. Hey, I'm sure this is very upsetting. I'm sorry about it all. It will be okay. You'll see. Kylie was reading the news on Simon on her phone when Bill Reinstadt rushed into his conference room, followed by two staffers about her age.
Kylie, this is Matthew, my campaign manager, and Jessica, my assistant.
Kylie rose and extended her hand. A pleasure, she said. I hope you don't mind, but I wonder if I can have just a minute with Mr. Reinstadt before we all meet together?
Reinstadt searched her face, and he picked up on her urgency.
Okay, guys, give us five.
As Matthew shut the conference room door behind them, Kylie sank into the chair and pointed to the article.
Here, please look at this.
Yes, I saw it on the news.
Simon was the guy who coded OMG.
That's right. I thought his name sounded familiar. Jesus, said Reinstadt.
Taking the chair next to Kylie, his eyes squinted, and he searched her face as if he suspected Kylie might work for the mob.
What's more, I had a weird feeling something was up with him, so I had him locked out of the program. I hired another guy to do it, and he opened the encrypted folder. I just found out Simon was working with Jerry Fox, and they developed a deadly virus called Lily. Evidently, Fox plans to release it in Boston on Black Friday.
Reinstadt ran his hand through his hair over his ear.
That's very interesting. How do you know this? Do you have proof?
Yes, it's in a folder on both Fox's and Simon's computers. It specifically lays it out. The plan is to release it in Boston first, then a bunch of other cities. Evidently, there's some sort of an off-site lab here in Chinatown, right over a bubble tea place. You can't miss it. There's a big sign for Lily's Bubble Tea. We were there and got some.
He narrowed his eyes, looking for the truth.
Do you have access to that here?
No, I'd have to get Misha's computer, my encryption guy.
Can you do that now?
Kylie nodded and picked up her phone. While she called Misha, Reinstadt called Matthew and Jessica into the room.
Slight change of plans. Matthew, call Raymond Lane from Homeland Security. Jessica, call Stuart Anderson from the FBI. Tell them to get up here right now. We have a problem.